Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Hello and welcome to episode 65 of the Disney Brit podcast for Wednesday, the 13th of April. 13's not a very lucky number, but I suppose it's fairly lucky for Craig. We'll come on to him in a second. Good evening, Juz.
Evening, Adam. Evening, Disney pod people. I'm busy packing here.
Packing for what?
I'm going away tomorrow.
Where are you going?
Orlando.
How are you? All right. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Sure, one of us is.
Yeah,
it's
one
me.
Of you are. Well, actually, in theory, hello, Craig.
Hello, Adam. Hello, Juz.
If this is indeed Wednesday the 13th of April, you are already in Orlando, are you not?
I am. I'm here. I've had a nice day today. I've had, what have I done today? I've been to Publix, got some shopping. Probably had AAA round to start the car. what else have I done? Kids have had a swim. I'm probably now sitting down watching Tottenham getting thrashed by Real Madrid again.
Oh, excellent. That's always.
Or we could be saying, we're very sad at the loss of Craig as he fell out of the aeroplane when he thought it was the toilet door.
Oh, thanks a lot. Yeah, I really love flying. Thanks a lot, Juz. That's helped so much.
What are you planning on doing on this trip? Is it all the parks or just a couple?
No, the first... Well, actually, there's quite a lot of the kids' friends are over at the same time, so we're all going to have a little bit of an Amherst School, Riverhead School meet at Downtown Disney on Friday, having all read my wonderful article in Mouse Mag issue 2. But no, the first week, we're going to go Universal a couple of times because our tickets run out at the weekend. And then the following week, we're going to go Magic Kingdom. And then we had a secret ballot vote last night to which other Disney park we were going to go to. And everyone picked Animal Kingdom for some reason.
Wow.
So, weird.
So we're going to go there. But if we get another chance, we might just go to Epcot for half a day just to have a look at the Toporis and have a slice of pizza.
The Toporis?
But it all depends.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and Fun Spot. The kids want to go Fun Spot, see if Galaxy spins up and
you're
running.
Doing Universal as well, aren't you? Just
yeah.
Passes.
You're not listening to what he said. He said that at the start.
No, I didn't listen. I don't listen to Craig. He just waffles on.
So we need to get your tickets to Fun Spot, do we, Craig?
No, I've got some.
Shh,
I've got some.
Say no more.
Fun Spot passes. Don't worry.
Now
I don't need tickets for anything. I don't need any freebies.
He doesn't because his kids are ninja kids now.
Oh, I was about to say before we sort of go into the Disney stuff, I think we have to say some big congratulations to your kids, do we not? Because they've achieved something that's quite awesome.
That their father never did.
Yeah, that Mr. Exactly. Miyagi would be very proud.
Yes, I. Do you know what? I know people kind of get bored with people talking about the kids, but I am very, very proud of them. So yesterday, both Alex and Kieran qualified for the GKR Karate World Cup finals. So they are both going to represent their region in the World Cup in Birmingham in July. Kieran won a gold medal and is currently the regional champion, and Alex got a silver medal.
Yeah, so take that, Jaden Smith.
Yeah, exactly.
Jaden Smith.
He did the Karate Kid remake.
All right.
Will Smith's son.
Kieran and Davin, trust
me. You are so not with the kids, are you, Juz?
He was vicious.
No, honestly not.
Right, let's let everybody know what's going on in this show then before we waffle on too much. We're going to bring our usual news and rumours, as we always do, but then we thought we'd have a bit of a music show. We've not sort of done one of these before where a lot of the stuff we're going to do is centred around music from the parks and things like that. So, in honour of the new Winnie the Pooh movie coming out in the UK this Friday, the 15th of April, we thought we'd bring you a couple of tracks from the new Winnie the Pooh movie. Then I'm going to finally, and it seems like forever since we did the last one, I'm finally going to bring you my three Disney Island discs. And also, there's a little bit of audio I've sort of been sitting on since August of last year, beginning of August.
It's going to be flat.
It's going to be very flat. Where I went to see the Encore Cast Choir and Orchestra in Epcot, and they did this fantastic rendition of what was basically Epcot retro tunes, and they combined loads of different tunes together. So, and we're going to bring you that as well. So we thought a bit of a music show for something.
Oh, it sounds like Disney, but the Glee.
Disney Brit does Glee Club. We should so do that as a Mouse Meets event.
No, we should, never do that.
Disney Glee Club. And you could be like, you could be the gay one, Juz.
That's right.
No response.
Yeah. Well, no, it doesn't really help because I never watched the tap, so I don't know what you mean.
Or we shave his head and turn him into Puckerman.
Yeah.
See, you're both talking, your organ here is blah, 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 blah. I just don't know what you say.
Anyway, while Juz works out just what the hell we're on about, let's do some news.
Good morning, sire.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in with the morning report.
Fire away.
So let's go to the parks then and do a little bit of news for you. And actually, before we sort of head into the parks, something we want to share with you, which is UK based. Now, Craig's not coming to this, Juz isn't coming to this. I think it's just me that's coming to this. And that is on the 28th of May, the Disney Store in the UK are going to be opening what is basically their flagship store. On Oxford Street in the centre of London, and it's going to be opening at 9 a.m. and basically it's going to be a three floor store. It's going to be have all of the Imagination Park stuff that's already going into all the other resorts, or the other resorts, the other stores, but it's also going to have a load of sort of bespoke stuff in there as well, stuff that hasn't appeared in any of the other stores so far due to the size of it. I think more like the New York store. You're not going to have the big screen on the front of it, but it's going to be that sort of idea, and it's going to have a huge amount in there. Well, as always, they're having their grand opening on the 28th of May from 9 a.m. The park, you could call it a park. The store is going to open on Thursday, the 26th of May, and it's going to be open to the public then. But the actual opening is going to be on that 28th. Now, if you want to go and try and do it VIP style, you can head over to disneystore.co.uk or go to disneybrit.com, and there is a link there that allows you to enter a competition. The competition is a VIP trip that includes a shopping spree of £200. One winner will win a family trip for four people, that's two adults and two children, to the grand opening, and they will get to stay in a nearby hotel. It'll also include return economy flights or train rail tickets, all those sort of stuff as well, depending on whereabouts you live. Departing on Friday the 27th of May and returning on Sunday the 29th of May. Loads of sort of really cool stuff to go in with that. Now, we are at Disney Brit going to be holding a Disney Brit meet at the event on Saturday the 28th of May. Obviously, we're going to be there from, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, we're going to be there from 7 a.m. We're going to be outside the store at 7 a.m, queuing up, ready to go, and hopefully we've got some cool stuff lined up. That's all I can say at this moment in time. But we will hopefully have something cool lined up, I'm hoping. So if you want to join us, again, disneybrit.com, there's an article there. You can click on the Here to Join the Facebook event group, and you can go over to that page, and you can sign up to say whether or not you're going to be attending, coming along with us, that sort of stuff. Anybody excited about this new flagship store? Is it just me?
Just you.
Just you.
Have any of you stepped inside the New Look store yet?
No,
because I just...
Girls Clothes store.
Well, yeah, New Look.
not been in there, mate. Right.
No, I don't go in there, mate.
No.
No, I'll go to World of Disney if I want to go to a Disney store, mate. I'll just pop in there.
Me too.
Yeah,
oh.
Right. Nice try. No, but neither of you been in the New Look stores.
Nah.
They're cool. They're seriously cool. And the thing is, if this is going to turn out to be what I think it's going to turn out like, this is going to be one of those places where you're going to go every trip when you go to London just to go in and see what's going on, because it's more than a store now. There's loads of activities that's going on. It's almost going to be like a shop / theme park in the way that all these activities are going in there, and with the size of it there's going to be some really cool stuff, I would hope. So do come along if you can on 28th of May, Disney Store, Oxford Street. Right, let's go over to Walt Disney World then, and Juz, there's some dining discounts for Easter, I understand.
You understand correctly, young man. Mainly because you wrote about it on Disney Brit. Anyway, if you're heading across to Disney World this Easter, Craig, then this is good news for you and your poor failing wallet. That was Craig again.
Yep.
Basically, to ease the burden on this, there's actually a 25% voucher off valid between the 17th of April and the 23rd of April. This is 25% off counter services for eating outside the peak times. Who's playing with paper?
It's not me. But,
I did just write a post-it note for something I needed to pack. Sorry.
Wife, kids.
Yeah. It actually said Dev to remember this, is what it's written on there, and I've written what she needs to remember.
And you've got to tell us now.
Suck it on his head.
You have to tell us now what she needs to remember.
She needs to remember to take some of the films we haven't seen so we can watch them in the evening.
There you go.
Okay,
that's exciting.
Do you mind?
Yeah.
The vouchers are available to download and print. And it's available. Do you want me to go through all the places?
Just tell me where the voucher is you can hear a printer going.
If you
in the
go
background.
To DisneyBrit.com.
Oh, God. Okay.
I'm sorry. If you go there, there's actually, you can just print it off there. You've got 5 places in Magic Kingdom, you know, Tomorrowland Terrace. You have, like, give a voucher for there. It's never open. Epcot, you've got 3 places there. Hollywood Studios, ABC Commissioners, a great one. Batlock Express, Studio Catering. And, of course, Animal Kingdom. You said you're going there anyway. Pizza Fire, restaurant stores. So you've got loads of places you can go and eat. And it's valid the whole time you're there, isn't it? 17th to the 23rd?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so, cool final motions on Disney Brit.
No, ignore them. Go and get your voucher. And then you can pay
to
death. Save money.
Where is it? Whereabouts is it?
I've just sent you the link. If you look in the chat, I've just sent you the link.
The listeners don't know that link is. If you go to Disney Brit and look for 25% Disney discounting thingy, and Adam will put it in the RSS feed of this podcast.
Yes, I will try and do that for you. Now you've just given me a challenge to work out how on earth to do that. If you go to Disney Parks /blog, you can find the link on there, but also there's the voucher and everything on our website.
Are you not meant to be plugging your own website?
I'm not doing that, of course. But you can, the voucher's there, you can right click save as and print that off. So that's not.
This is an exclusive Disney Brit voucher and no one else has got it.
It is not, that's a lie. But it'd be lovely if it was, but I can't honestly say that it is.
And it's 125% off from Disney Brit. If they say no, Adam will come. You can find him at Oxford Street.
Yeah, I'll be there. That's all good. Right, so it is quite good that you're getting that 25% discount. I've used one of these in Disneyland Paris, and it doesn't half make a difference in your actual cost of your food. And this is, I think that was only, it was 15%, whereas you're looking at a quarter off here. Hey, look, see, I've been listening to Craig. And, you know, it's not that far out of your eating times. Before 11:30, you know, you could, he is actually printing it off in the background, isn't he?
Can you hear it? I'm printing it. Yeah.
I can hear it. And looking at this as well, there's no limit to the number you can print off.
Yeah, keep printing, Craig.
Do another one then.
No limit here at all. It just says that it's one per transaction, but there's nothing to say you can't eat dinner and Pecos bills is there. You can have your lunch before 11:30, and then you can have your dinner at 4:30 if you wanted to, and you get your 25% off both of your meals. So I think that's pretty good going, to be honest. I don't think that's bad at all. And there's a good collection of places there. You know, you said Flame Tree, which is really nice. Restaurant of Sauce is all right. But then you've got things like Pecos Bill with is it the quarter pound? No, it's more than, it's a third of a pound of burger, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Proper Electric Umbrella? Bill. No, thank you. I hate that place.
I really like it then.
Well, the last time I went, I just felt like I was just stirred among a huge amount of people with nothing going on. But Sunshine Season's awesome.
Awesome-tastic.
I love. That's your latest word, isn't it? I love.
That is Jussie's new word.
He is actually printing off more, isn't he? You can hear it.
I've got two now, but it prints double-sided for some. I've just got some setting wrong. But yeah, I've got two. There you go.
I apologise for the unprofessional. You know, it was much more professional when he wasn't here last time. Anyway, not that we want you to go, Craig, of course. But as you're heading out to Walt Disney World, I suppose it's quite important you know where all these new character meet and greets are going on. So can you give us a quick update?
I certainly can indeed, yes. I can click on that button there and it tells me. Right, so Mickey.
You know, by the telling people now, as long as you're happy with it, that's all that matters.
Yeah, done.
Exactly. Done. Mickey and the Princesses, they've got a new meet and greet that we all know about because Adam's been going on about it and written a lovely little article about it. But they're in the Times Square Theatre on Main Street with the ridiculous Fast Pass that's only valid for the time on the Fast Pass. Well, who made up that idea?
Stupid idea.
Well, to be honest, most people think that's true no matter when it is, so it's only us. It's only the people in the know who know about most
people. No, but we think the whole Fast Pass idea for characters is rubbish anyway.
Oh,
yeah,
is it?
Exactly. Yes. Right, but interesting, Jazzy will like this because he's a bit of a closet geeky pirate man. With release of the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie due out on the 20th of May, there will be a chance to meet one of the new pirates. This will be Angelica.
Hello.
Wasn't she in
Rugrats.
Rugrats.
Who is portrayed by, Penelope Cruz. Angelica is the daughter of the legendary pirate captain Blackbeard. So Cruz with a moustache. And she will appear in Adventureland beginning April 15th.
He was stabbed some like 7 times and shot twice before they could actually kill him.
Odd.
And then they beheaded him.
Okay.
Just to make sure.
Well, no, because in those days it was a case of, when you say, you know, so much for, you know, the bounces on the head, it was literally just the head.
Okay.
That's where the expression comes from, you know. Just sort of throw that in as a bit of, oh, shut up.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure about this one. Winnie the Pooh is going to replace Lotso over at the animation building at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
You hate Lotso.
Yeah, but Winnie the Pooh's kind of old.
I thought you stood on Lotso's foot last time, didn't you?
I did. I said you're evil and stood on it. And apparently he said, no, he's had good Disney training since he's been here. But I did stand.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah, right. I'm with you on this Winnie the Pooh thing. But, okay, I understand they're putting it there because it's a new movie. They want to promote the movie. Yeah. But you can see Winnie the Pooh anywhere.
Yeah, he's everywhere.
There's poo everywhere.
There is poo everywhere around Disney. They should sort that out. But this is going to swap over on April the 30th. But Lotso, you still want to see him as a countdown to fun in the afternoon parade, though I'm sure you can't run out and have a picture taken with him because he will just be walking by.
Yeah.
This is an interesting one because I'm not quite sure what they're going to look like with their skinny legs. But Phineas and Ferb are going to meet guests in May. This is going to be at Disney Hollywood Studios, May the 16th it will start. It's going to include meet and greet portion as well as a small happening or show, something like that. It's going to be a bit of a party, but they're going to be interesting because they've got really, you know, the English one, forget which one he is, Ferb, is quite sticky, isn't he, as a character. So I'd be interested to see how they're going to do him as a real life person.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see them because they're trying to do it another sort of interactive experience, aren't they? Whereas I know recently on the Disney Audition site, they were advertising for, I think it was either movie director or producer who's going to be the human element of it to interact with Phineas and Ferb before they do the meet and greet bit. But it will be interesting to see how they do it and how they translate because that, you know, things like Winnie the Pooh and Mickey and all that lot are recognisable, easy shapes to create, whereas Phineas Ferb are very rectangular shapes in some way. So they're not natural looking. So they're going to be quite...
I'm very rectangular.
In a round way.
Yeah.
In a round way.
Did you not mean rotund?
That's what I meant. Is that not rectangular? Because we shout down the street after me. Oh.
Right, so let's move on to downtown Disney. Talk to you about the new AMC Dine-In Theatre. Nick headed over there recently for us and took some photos of some new signs and bits and pieces that are going up there. And the it's now known as the AMC Dine-In Theatre because it's going to give you the new fork and screen theatres. These are designed as a casual dining.
You've got to be careful how you say that, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got to be very careful. Guests are over the age of 18 or have to be accompanied by an adult. So basically you go in, you reserve the seating that you want. You have to be careful how you say this as well. You have to visit the McGuffins bar before or after the show. Did they not realise that guff is actually a word in England for something different?
Thank goodness they haven't put the RC racer behind it as well.
RC McGuffins. Right, that bar's open for 21, age 21 and over. But when you get into your little theatre and you sit down in your seat, then you can press a call button at your seat and a server will arrive and will take your order. And you can order appetizers, entrees, desserts, beer, wines and cocktails, all from your seat. And they can be brought along to you for you to enjoy and sit down. It is opening in May. And it is what was this Downtown Disney 24, basically, is that sort of area. But there's going to be options for upgraded seats as well. There's going to be advanced reserve seating. It's all this new stuff that's going to be going on as part of this. If you want to know more about it, you can go to AMC Theatres, funnily enough, spelt T-H-E-A-R-T-R-E-S, not the other way around. Is that the America's, America, I thought the Americans spelt theatres the other way around. Or is it theatres... In cinema is RES and theatres is in live performances ERS, maybe. But amctheatres.com/dine-in and you can find out more about what's going on over there.
Will the person get in the way of the film?
Well, I don't know. It depends how it works. I can't say I've ever been to a dine-in theatre where I suppose they must get in the way of the film.
Is it not just the same as sitting at home with your food and watching Sky movies?
what?
Dinner on your lap.
Have you got somebody in your house who...
It's just dinner on your lap, isn't it?
I don't know. I won't have a clue.
I just think if people are going to get in the way, you're going to say, I want a beer now. But please get out of the way, I can't watch the film.
Well, I'm just looking now on their website, and according to this, there is a picture of a woman who's giving this... giving food over to somebody sat in a seat, and she is directly in front of her, and she looks quite happy about it. So
no, she's always going to be ordering nacho chips.
No, they've got burger and chips in front of them. Someone next to them's got a pizza.
That's what I mean.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, munching the nachos.
It's all going to have to be soft foods, like
what they're going to have
baby food.
Baby food or burger and chips.
And if you're in the middle, you're not going to get your meal because the other end, the server's going to say, pass that down. And as people are passing it down, they're going to have a couple of chips each.
Right, there's
nothing left.
Let's have a quick look through the menu and see what noisy stuff they've got. Crab ragoon dip, that'll be all right. Loaded potato skins, crunchy, that'll be good. Wings and things, buffalo wings.
Oh, where's my
onion
bone?
Onion rings. Oh. Onion loops, apparently. I don't know what the difference between an onion loop and an onion ring is. And then there's a veggie triple feature, which is ice box of carrots, celery sticks. Oh. Bizzetta strips. Okay. Parmesan fries. Homemade chili bowl.
That's looking blanco, stink, isn't it?
Queso blanco dips and chips. There's cheese batons, chicken wings and onion loops on their own. Salads. Then you've got chicken tenders, shrimps, mac and cheese, fish and chips, fried steak, quesadillas. Yeah, it's not the quietest sounding food, is it? A load of sandwiches, burgers... flatbreads that look really good.
I'm going to be behind someone who's just had the chili and they go, phew, that goes through you quick. it's a stupid idea, this.
Yes.
I've decided.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens, won't we? I think we should send Nick along. Or no, Nick will be there anyway.
Well, they're actually in Manchester and I'm probably in Leicester and wherever Craig lives. I don't know, sort of Essex. They have theatres where... they have separate areas where you can go and you can have several beverages while sat in like a glass area looking down. Now that would make sense, where you're completely separate from, you know, the common people and you can sit and eat your nachos, but not all together.
Well, you know the theatre we've got for Mousemeats, at the very, very back of it for the film. Very, very back of it for the film we're showing. We've got leather seats. You can sit in leather sofas at the back.
Aren't they our seats?
Yes, there are seats.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, so get out. Anybody sitting in them? But they've got leather seats about. But I do vaguely remember there being cinemas like this in the UK. And I remember you had to pay more for it. And I can't remember for the life of me.
Odeon did it. They have premium
seats.
Was it the
Odeon that used to do it?
Yeah, they used to do it, yeah.
Right, okay.
Because it's really cheap to go to the cinema over here and then to pay an extra £5 for an extra seat and get... So you used to get, like, free snacks and drinks during the film.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely sounds familiar. So you're not impressed with that, then?
No, it costs enough though for you to go to the film, to be honest with you. That's why people download stuff.
Because we have a cinema deluxe in Leicester that has like a director's lounge menu, and you can go into this sort of posh part of the cinema and pay double price for your tickets. But from what I remember, I don't think you can actually take them into the cinema themselves.
That's why we're hot dogs.
Exactly. Popcorn. What's wrong with a big box of popcorn?
Popcorn and hot dogs, that's where it should stay.
And a bucket of Coke.
So yeah. This isn't a popular thing then with you guys?
I just don't know how it's going to work.
Okay, well, I'll say we'll send Nick down and he'll find out for us. Good grief, I never thought we'd talk so long just about cinema. Let's head back into the parks then, head over to the Magic Kingdom and some information about the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, it's finished, it's done.
Okay.
Basically, yeah, they've actually finished off the ghost scene. Adam has been battling all about this for months, going, ooh, bloody blah, ooh, Haunted Mansion. Anyway, and then he said, oh, it's disappointing because it looks rubbish. But now he's happy again because it's come now and the proper, everything's working, and at the end where you're going to have a hitchhiking ghost, they're now doing stuff with you, and not in a nice way. You know, what's happening is they're taking your heads off, swapping them round, sticking a beard on you. There's actually a video over at DisneyBrit.com where you can actually see the whole of all these mirrored effects. I think it comes from Ricky Brigante's Inside the Magic One. He was first down there doing it. We sent Nick down, but Nick's got a rubbish camera, so all we saw was black. So any donations would be accepted.
You think Jess is joking about that? It's actually true. He came back and went, "This is the best I could do." And it was
rubbish, so we fired him.
Yeah.
So basically, there's about five or six different effects that's going to happen to you. You can actually go and see this at DisneyBrit.com. If you want, you can go and look at the painting. My goodness, are Americans unsure about paintings? I'm now going to put my own paintings in, because basically what you do, you do not say any of the technology, what you're going to do behind. You just say this concept, and then they accept that as a patent. It is most bizarre, appalling document I have ever read. A 10-year-old could do better writing something like that, and the diagrams have been done by a 2-year-old. It is a joke, and then I'll provide a patent. But how it works, I'll tell you now anyway, because I've actually looked at it properly and ignored their painting. What they do is they bombard you with a load of infrared, yeah? The infrared comes bouncing back to an infrared camera to pick up the depth against yourself, because infrared comes back in time and it can measure the 3D effect of that. It will sit there and build a skeleton map of you. So it goes, hey, there's a skeleton map roughly of you. The cameras are then utilized for the face recognition software. So it then says, okay, faces, I understand where the face is in relation to the skeletal body. And that's how it does it. And bizarrely, what other product does exactly the same as this? Microsoft Kinect does exactly the same principle as this does, but you can have two paintings doing the same thing, but you just wrap it up in a big ball of fluff.
Wow.
There we go.
Geek.
That really was proper geek, wasn't it?
Ooh, sorry. Okay, and then we all burst into song and sing an episode.
He was proper going for it, because I looked at that painting and I went, I don't understand it.
It's a joke, isn't it? I'm sorry, you sit there and you can just go, okay, I'm going to design this thing, yeah, that basically will feed all the world completely. And I'm not going to tell you how I do it, but there'll be a little diagram here of some cloud and God.
But how long ago do you think they put that painting in? You know, could it be that they put it in right back at the beginning when they didn't understand how the technology was exactly going to work?
It's true. I mean, I don't have it here, but it's part of the technology. Actually, I do have it here, which is the biggest joke ever. Okay, also it should be understood that the specific imaging processing techniques described herein are merely examples of how information may be extracted from the raw image and determine the attributes of individuals. So basically it's saying is, we've made up this thing that doesn't really exist yet, but it's only an example, because when something comes along it might be a bit different.
But from a lawyer's point of view, Craig, is this quite a sensible thing to do, to put that patent in? Does it, doesn't cost a massive amount to put a patent in, does it?
No, they've got, I mean, Disney will have IP lawyers, you know, just sitting there protecting them stuff all the time, so they just put it in, and then there'll obviously be a fight between them and Microsoft over who actually owns it, and it, you know, it just goes on all the time. I know a little bit about this, because I had a brilliant temp lawyer that was working in my team who was an IP specialist, and she's gone.
Is that when you had a team?
Exactly, when I had a team, and she was one who left, but she's now gone off to work for Nokia, and we were talking all about iPhones and different things, and it's like Apple own the patent for the swish that turns the phone on, so that's why Android have to do something different, and everything just gets cross-patented, and that's where a lot of the money is. So I'm not surprised that Disney have put this in. Then there'll be an argument over who's done it first, and then there'll be, you know, there'll be some licensing issues, and it'll all just be a big bugger's muddle, and the only ones that'll get rich out of it are people like Talia.
Okay. So that's it. But so have you actually just explained exactly what the finale does? We just waffled
the same as Microsoft Kinect.
I said that. I said the ghost come along. If you rewind and listen to it, so you see, not listen to me, you don't listen to Craig. If you rewind, they take your heads off. They stick beards on you. They swap heads over. They take your head off and blow it up in like a balloon, and it pops. They do funny stuff. And then I said, go to Disney Brit, because that's where you can see it all.
And we did discuss on Destination Disney this past week whether or not there was a difference if there were three people in the vehicle, and we didn't know. And it turns out that, yes, they're able to identify three people in a vehicle. They're able to do something with that as well. So
yeah, apparently you don't get anything at all, because you shouldn't have three people in it. That's what it's...
No, but you do apparently get something a little bit different. So I don't know what exactly that is, but... do check it out. Right, let's stay in the parks. We're heading over to Hollywood Studios, and Craig, a little bit more about Star Tours.
This is rubbish news for you to give me.
No, it's not.
You'll find out.
It's good news to give you, because it's got really difficult words to pronounce. Therefore, exactly. We give it to Craig.
I've got to make it bigger for to see. Hold on, let me scroll up. Right, so lots of information about Star Wars 2. Okay, Star Tours 2, sorry. And what's recently been released is the final destinations you'll expect to visit when you'll go on the ride. I can say the game, go on the ride when it comes back online. Now, you're going to go to Tatooine for the Bonta Eve pod race. And you've got to be very careful with this one. Course us, Kant. You're going there as well.
Hang on a sec. You gave me this the other week because you wanted me to make a fool of myself.
Oh, no, we're getting back, John.
There are Star Wars fanboys shouting at their iPod right now, going, why is he butchering these names?
Do you know what? This is how it's officially said, apparently. You're spot on there, Dunk, so far.
Thank you. Right, well, you know, additional destinations include a visit to the beautiful planet of Naboo, a rare tour of Wookiee planet of Kashyyyk, and a trip to the icy planet Hoth, which you can see above in a still image if you're looking at the thing that I am, and which was in Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back, which to me is the second Star Wars film, and I'm not having it said any other way. Of course, no Star Tours adventure could be complete without an unexpected visit to the Death Star. All right, so be warned, that's where you're going to go. In addition, right?
It's like buttons.
There you go.
Yeah, you'll be departing from a spectacular new spaceport created just for the new voyages. Right, so there's a little departure board.
Yeah.
And it's got a few things on there. Now, luckily, none of these are run by Virgin, so they're all on time. you're going to Kashyyyk on flight 610.
Are you allowed to recline your seat on these?
You can, and you can take kids out of school. Yeah. to take them on this trip. You can go to Geonosis. You can go to Hoth, you can go to Naboo, you can go to Corsicant, and you can go to Tatooine.
Right, can I just give the right names for people?
Yeah, go on then.
So can I point out, did he say one was called the Hoth?
Yes, the Hoth.
As in, the Hoth.
Yeah.
The Hoth.
I would go there.
So you've got Kashyyyk, Geonosis, Hoth, Naboo, Coruscant, and Tatooine.
That's what he said.
That's, yes.
Spot on.
It's quite large, isn't it, Craig, eh?
It is, too right, mate.
Sequeaky Lodge, my favourite.
Sequeaky Lodge is just lovely. All right, thank you.
Anyway, there's loads of geeky stuff all about what's on each planet, but who's really going to give a monkeys? You're going to go enjoy the ride, think it's wicked, and do it again.
No, because you're going to come out and go, oh, I love that tattoo, and the swords behind you just go, actually, I hate to correct you, but you've got that so wrong.
Yeah, it's all going to be people with glasses and Star Wars T-shirts.
That's true. But it is cool that there's going to be, I reckon, now 54 different storylines in total. I think each one comes in three separate acts, so they'll be combined together in different ways, and they reckon that you're never going to be able to go on and ride the same thing two times in a row.
Three times in a row, defo, but not two times in a row.
So there's going to be people just queuing up for days just to try and all the different combinations out. But it's cool because it does mean, again, we talk about that re-rideability element. Star Tours is going to have exactly that come May. Right, let's jump on a plane and fly our way over to Disneyland Paris, where we're actually not quite going to Disneyland Paris. We're landing south of Disneyland Paris in Spain to start off with. Okay, isn't he good? It's almost as if
I didn't read your story. I don't have your news. I was saying it jokingly. Now you've ruined it. I'm going to have to say something else. Libya.
Okay. Craig.
Yeah.
I dare you.
You dare me.
Okay. Just for those people who don't know what Craig's asking us to dare him for, he's just sent us a link for Steak and Shake, where they're doing an all-you-can-eat pancakes for $3.99, and you can see the size of the stack of pancakes.
I'm going to see how many's on there. 2, 3, 4. 30. There's 30 on that stack.
30, there you go.
That's a tiny bit of syrup.
I know, there's not enough syrup.
I hope you get more syrup than that.
You want a salad bowl full of syrup and then fill it with pancakes.
Oh, four meals for under $4.
Yeah, that's good. And I quite like the M&M milkshake as well. Oh, anyway, talk about going.
I'm just looking where to go. Point.
By the way, I'm not listening to you now. I'm reading this site.
Okay, that's fine. Right, so let's let you know a little bit about what's going on in Spain. We mentioned on the last show how Paramount would be building a park that is supposedly going to rival Disneyland Paris. And on the 25th of March, they had almost like a press conference / investors conference where they were inviting all these people to put in the massive amount of money that is going to cost to build this brand new park. Well, this is the information we've now found out. The park is going to be built 20 miles from the beaches of Murcia, and a brand new airport that's going to be opening between 2012 and 2013 called Corvera, which is going to be opening down there. My mum quite confidently assures me that this airport is coming on very nicely indeed, because she's living down that way. But the park's going to be separated into two areas. It's going to be the theme park, and there's going to be something known as a lifestyle centre. Now, the Lifestyle Centre is going to feature conference facilities. It's going to have a 15,000-seat auditorium, a shopping village, nightclubs and several hotels. So think Downtown Disney meets Disney Village meets the West Side meets City Walk, I suppose, in a way. It's going to be part of this venue. Then you're going to have the theme park, which is going to be split into five distinct zones. And I think this sounds quite cool, even as a Disney fan, and as this being a rival for a Disney fan, I think it's going to be quite cool. The entrance looks very similar. Think about the archways that you get to the entrance of Universal Studios Park in Orlando, and that's the sort of look that it's got, those sort of archways which you pass underneath to get to the main turnstiles. Once you're inside, you've got this sort of highly themed street, which is going to have all sorts of shops and possibly hotels on the side as well. And there's going to be restaurants. There's also going to be an area, a pavilion, that's focusing on the region of Murcia in Spain, which people will be able to look at. But then the park will split into three further sections, which is going to be Adventure City, which is the first one. Now, tell me whether you think this sounds cool or not. It's going to feature some thrill and attractions, some adventure attractions, taken from three different movies. The first is going to be a giant replica of the Titanic, and it's going to allow guests to go inside the Titanic, and they're going to get the chance to enjoy parts of the ship and then be totally immersed in this interactive experience where you're apparently going to see parts of the inside of the ship ruined by water as it begins to sink. And it's almost like a walkthrough attraction as well as some other elements. There's also going to be a roller coaster based upon the Italian Job, which sounds really cool. And finally, a 4D attraction, which is based upon the Mission Impossible franchise. So they're going to be within the Adventure City. Then if we go into the Lost Valley area, there's going to be two main attractions. One is going to be a Tomb Raider-style attraction, which we're expecting to possibly be a boat ride, which is going to have a massive drop down a Mayan temple at the end. And then a Beowulf attraction, which is expected to be another roller coaster. We then go into... Who's tapping very loudly in the background?
Me.
It's you. Then we're going to have a Woodland Fantasy
Area. Sorry, I'm not interested in this because it's not Disney.
That's
sorry.
Fine. A Woodland Fantasy Area, which is going to have a Sleepy Hollow Tavern. It's going to have some magical forests, some magical trees, and there's supposed to be also a feature element in there spaced around the Spiderwick Chronicles. And then we've got the Plaza Futura, which is going to be based upon the sci-fi horror supernatural sort of ideas. There's going to be an attraction interactive idea with Star Trek that's apparently going to use the most advanced integration technology and special effects ever seen in the park. There's also going to be a War of the Worlds style 4D attraction, and also a sort of haunted terror walk based upon the B-movie Paranormal Activity. Now, this resort is going to make around 10,000 jobs. It's going to cost 1 billion euros to build, and it's expected to open somewhere around 2015. What do you think? Is this going to rival Disney or not?
Yeah, it's pucker.
You like the sound of it?
I do. I think it is great, but not Disney, is it? So everyone's just cut that bit out.
Yeah, it's not Disney, I admit, but I think we wanted to share it with people because of the fact that it is supposed to be rivaling Disney. You know, they reckon this is going to be just as good, if not better. And I suppose in a way it's quite important. Juz, what do you think?
I think I'm having the M&M milkshake and the steak burger, knotted bun, Swiss cheese and fresh portobello mushrooms with caramelised onion, savoury seasoning, garlic mayonnaise and liquid margarine.
That sounds good, but what about apart
but me and Dunks have been talking food for the last 10 minutes.
I think it's
exactly the same. The location I thought Disney would have done better in, it would probably do exceptionally well because it's got hot weather, cheap flights. What more could you want?
Exactly, and it sounds more Universal Thrill Park style than it is Disney as well. So
I'll go.
Yeah,
so it's a bit more adult. I'd definitely go though.
I'll let you know in 2015.
A lot of football shirts, won't there? That's the only downside.
Yeah, that's true. It's being a very British tourist destination.
And a St George's pub or something, or the Red Lion.
You never know. In an Irish pub across the road with karaoke, and a big screen for the football. But talking about foreign parks, we're going to head over to France and to Disneyland Paris, where the Magical Moments Festival has finally kicked off, and they've released a load of useless facts.
I'm sorry, Craig made me open the logs on steak place.
Have you got the music?
Music's just been blaring in my ear, I couldn't hear a thing. You didn't sound like there's music on that one.
I didn't realise it was.
Juz, it's you.
Okay. Oh, that was awkward. Trying to figure out which window I had to close quickly. Or, to be honest, at first thought, hey, that's nifty music Adam's got going in the background there, slightly country and western. Anywho's, it's the Magical Moments Festival at Disneyland Paris that Adam might have mentioned a second ago that I couldn't hear him talking about. Do you want to know all the facts and figures about this thing?
Don't do all of them.
I'll do something, because you have seriously got a lot here. 60 hours of rehearsal are needed for the Disney characters to learn the choreography. If Adam was taking him as drama teacher, that'd be 1,060 hours they'd need. 4 entire nights of general rehearsal on the front stage. Of how are they doing the rehearsal? Are they doing it after it closes?
Yes, after the park closes, yeah.
Okay, just asking.
Just everybody comes down the street going, don't look, what? Please.
You could do something like, there's Mickey, and everyone look elsewhere. You go, da, 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 da.
A little bit.
Or if it's Glee, you could just sing and no one seems to care. It seems to be like quite the normal. Do you know, my daughter had some Americans to the school last week before she broke up, and one of the little kids, because it's went up to him and said, do kids really sing in American schools?
Oh jeez.
Oh, they were a little kid. Obviously, this is the impression they've got, that people just suddenly burst into song and no one questions it. It's like, no, never mind. Anyhow, there is absolutely tons. If you go through this, basically from concept to production, 9 months, whereas Mouse Meets is 12 months.
Yeah, and we've got a little show and everything, yeah.
Arrangements is a month, orchestration is 1 month, 135,000 notes of music in place. You know, you sit there sometimes and we say things about, or we sometimes criticise the shows that happen.
Yeah.
And things that happen. And it's only when you start reading this, you go, do you know what? Even if it's tat, by God, they've put a lot of effort into all this. Recordings alone take 60 gigs worth of hard drive capacity, which is really just about a quarter or an eighth of Dunks' Disney collection there, complete. and that's just, you know, seriously, if you're geekish like Mr. Goodker is, I would suggest you do go to DisneyBrit.com and you do look for the, I think it's down as the more information and fun facts about the Magical Moments Festival at Disneyland Paris. This is seriously, it's a page full. No, it's not. If you were to print this out, I'll probably say it's about 5 pages here of all the bits and pieces that go into making up what happens behind the scenes at Disney. Motors, action, stunt show, spectacular. How many guests have seen it?
I can remember it being a ridiculous amount within the millions, but I can't remember exactly what it said.
2.1 million.
That's more than that. 30-something million, wasn't it?
6 people in all have seen it. 27 million.
Oh, wow.
That's 9,000 live shows and not a single crash. But it's silly things like this. And, you know, and you look through it and, you know, there's paint and, you know, 150 litres of paint. Litres are spelled one way, by the way. Against itself, 20 litres of special glue for joining the foam on the parade. You think, yeah, we all use glue in life. But I don't know. I think sometimes we criticise this and you look at the amount of effort and manpower goes into it and you think, geez.
Yeah, it is crazy just how much stuff that goes on as part of that. And that's mostly for the shows. We're not talking about all the other bits and pieces that are going on as well. But we're going to be heading out end of May to check out the new festival that's going on. So,
are we?
Oh, brilliant. Thanks, mate.
I'll be heading out in
May. With who? We? You said
with,
we.
My, with my wife and Harry.
No, Harry?
Yes, I'm taking Harry to a Disney park.
You've got a son?
Yeah.
Get that a secret.
I know. Can you believe it? Yes, I'm actually taking Harry to a Disney park.
And you're telling him that's Florida?
He knows. He knows already. He knows he's going. And every day all he asks is, can we go to Disneyland today? And
have you thought that probably he just goes, please, can I just go with you, Mummy and Dad? No. We're going on a big boat soon to see Mickey Mouse. Great, not you.
He is going on a boat to see Mickey Mouse. He's going on a ferry across the channel.
Mersey.
Right, is that all the news? It is all the news. That's absolutely everything we've got. Come on, Jess, do it. Right, we talked about Winnie the Pooh, and it's coming out the 15th of April here in the UK. You're not getting it in the US until July, but for some strange reason, Disney decided they're going to release it here. Well, we know why. It's busy, Easter. We had 2 weeks off for Easter. A lot of people head out to the cinema to go and see this new movie. So we're going to get it a few months early, and it does come out, indeed, in this Friday, if you've listened to this on the Wednesday or the Thursday before it's been released. then you'll be able to go and see it in cinemas everywhere from Friday. Are you guys going?
No.
Just?
No.
Oh, just me then. We're taking Harry to see it on Friday. So if you
again?
Want, yeah, we're taking... yes, I know. This is a revelation. We're taking to two Disney things in a space of a few months.
That's guilt for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, definitely.
No, it might be. we're going to take him to see it on Friday. Johnny Lincoln, who listens to the show, went to see the press screening for us. And if you're listening to this from Friday onwards, you better go on to DisneyBrit.com and you will find his review of the movie. Once I've been to see it on Friday, I'm going to write my review of the movie as well. But this is a brand new story. It's hand animated, just like the original Winnie the Pooh movies were. John Lasseter's had a hand in. And there's some really, really great music. And we said that we were going to sort of do a lot of music in this second half of the show. And that's exactly what we're going to do now. So what we want to play for you is two tracks. One is called Everything Is Honey, which is a song that Pooh sings and some of the characters. And also we're going to bring you the sort of reworking of the Winnie the Pooh theme tune as sung by Zooey Deschanel within the film. So here are two tracks from the new Winnie the Pooh movie out in the UK on the 15th of April.
Quite all right with me. I am a bear of little brain. I can't explain why everything will be changing to the favorite snack of Winnie the Pooh. Can you? Everything is honey. I can't get enough of lots and lots of pots and pots of sticky, licky stuff. Oh, what a sight! Oh, what a dream! Dive in the wonderful, honeyful stream! Swimming in the honey, swimming far and wide. Open up my mouth and let the honey flow inside. Ooey and gooey and very sweet. Eat and eat, then repeat. Suddenly I'm in a honey boat. It doesn't matter where we float. Whoa. Cause everywhere is honey. There's a honey pool. He's just made of honey, so I guess I'll eat him too. If everything is honey and I am what I eat, I must be made of honey. And life is very sweet.
Christopher's childhood days. A donkey named Eeyore is his friend, and Kanga and Little Roo,
and Tigger too.
There's Rabbit and Piglet, and there's Owl, but most of all Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh. Tubby little cubby all stuffed with fluffies. Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh, willy nilly silly old fair. Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh, tubby little cubby all stuffed with fluffies. Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh, willy nilly silly old fair.
Ah, 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 ah.
Pooh. Winnie the Pooh.
That's lovely.
Winnie the Pooh. See, it's just like Glee here.
Yes. Did you like them?
Oh, lovely. Brilliant. Yeah.
I quite like them. I quite like the Everything is Honey. It starts off a bit strange and gets a bit better. Like the Winnie the Pooh theme's all right. The music they're using, and you can go over to, and I'll try and put a link on the website somewhere. You can go over to the French Disney website, and they're currently streaming the whole album for free. You go over and listen to that over there.
For free.
So it's worth going over and taking a listen at that. So there we go. There is two tracks from the brand new Winnie the Pooh film on the 15th of April.
Columbus Vacation Villas. Central Florida Vacation Home Rentals and Property Management Services. If you are looking for your perfect vacation villa, get in touch with this friendly family-run business, which will go out of their way to make sure your vacation of a lifetime is just that. If you already own a villa in Orlando, then let Columbus take care of everything whilst you are away, giving you complete peace of mind. Check out www.columbus-vacations.com and discover a new world.
We have visual contact. Go, go, go!
Make way for the pig.
Howdy, partners!
Climb aboard!
Carnivores versus pork bellies?
You're on, old school!
Your mission, get there. The all-new attraction, Toy Story Mania. It's 4D, which is one better than 3D.
Security!
That works every time.
Now at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Aloha, aloha,
aloha.
I'm the white deer.
It's been a while since we last did Disney Island Discs, and we've heard what Juz has to say, we've heard what Craig has to say, but I haven't done mine yet, so it's my turn to bring my Disney Island Discs, and of course, Juz and Craig are here. Yeah, there they are.
We don't join really need to be. We could go, to be honest.
Okay, hey, see ya. Bye.
Oh, okay.
Well, he's in Orlando. He's missing the sun.
He's missing the sun, and apparently he's missed the first five goals that Real Madrid have put past Tottenham.
Not fun.
But very true.
Yeah, very true.
So what I've done, and for those of you who've not heard what we do for Disney Island Discs, there's a radio show on Radio 2 here in the UK, which is called Desert Island Discs, where...
And Adam stole the idea.
And we stole the idea, basically, yeah. They invite celebrities onto the show to talk about going to Desert Island, and it is the three songs they would take with them on a desert island. So we decided we'd take the three Disney songs we would take with us on a desert island. The span of music you can choose is absolutely anything. It could be from television shows, from movies, from musicals, from the parks, absolutely anything. So I'm going to give you my top three, and you're probably going to pull them all apart, and we'll see what happens. And if I'd have done this a few months ago, my top three would have been different, but it has sort of changed, and I could honestly have done my top 33, to be honest, and I've had to really restrict myself. And no doubt if we visited this in a year's time, my top three would probably change again. But my number three is from a brand new film from Walt Disney Pictures. It's not a Pixar, and it's from Rapunzel. We went to see Rapunzel recently, and me and Craig were both talking about how Rapunzel could really be a musical, because a lot of the music in it is so musically orientated in the style that what she's singing, she's telling a story with in a way. And my number three on my Disney Island Discs is the first song we hear in the whole film, and that is When Will My Life Begin, because I think it is just genius with the how she's talking about this whole idea about her life and about everything that she does and how it all goes on. And I just love this sort of the comedy element to it, especially if you're actually watching it and you can see it as you're listening to it. You can see all the funny elements that go with it as well. So my number three is When Will My Life Begin.
Sweep to the floors all clean. Polish and wax, do laundry and buy.
puzzles and darts and baking. Paper mache, a bit of ballet and chess. Pottery and ventriloquy candle making. Then I'll stretch, maybe sketch, take a climb, go a dress. And I'll be read the books if I have time to spare. I'll paint the walls some more. I'm sure there's room somewhere. And then I'll brush and brush and brush and brush my hair. Stuck in the same place I've always been. And I'll keep wandering and wandering and wandering and wandering. Where will my life begin? Tomorrow night, the lights will appear just like they do.
Okay, number two. I'm going into the parks now, and I'm going to be... My number two and my number one are very similar, but from different resorts. And my number two actually comes from Disneyland Paris, or it is now from Disneyland Paris. It originally comes from, I think, Hong Kong, if I remember rightly. Disney doesn't have many interesting... nighttime parades, let's put
podcasters.
It that way. Interesting podcasters. We get the fireworks in the summer, and at other times in the year we also get a nighttime parade. We don't get any of the evening shows like Fantasmic or World of Color or anything like that. It doesn't happen, but we do get Fantillusion, and Fantillusion is possibly my favorite nighttime Disney parade. I think it even trumps Spectro Magic and Main Street Electrical. But I really, really like the music. I think the music's absolutely amazing. I'm not going to play the entire track because the entire track's sort of 13, 14 minutes long. But the main theme, there is actually one version which is condensed down into about 5 minutes or so. And I want to play you the music from Fantillusion because it is such an awesome show. So Fantillusion then is a mixture of sort of the good and evil, which is really cool. You've both seen Fantillusion, haven't you?
Yes.
Yes.
What do you think?
Cool.
Yeah, it's like a poor man's spectrum magic.
Parisian spectrum magic.
Okay, it's a Parisian spectrum magic. I think it's cool. I really like it. But that takes me on to my number one. And this is my number one Disney Island disc. The one thing that I would take with me if I was going onto a desert island, I would put it on repeat. And I thought about putting Illuminations here, but then I thought, well, hang on, Juz has already put Illuminations. And if I do that Well, I did think about it, but I thought, you know, I want to try and be a bit different. No, I don't want to pick something that we've already
had. It's about you, isn't it? If you're stuck on an island, you'd be sat there going, oh, I wish I picked that, but Juz has picked it, and I can't hear him on his desert island.
But now I say that, I'm beginning to wonder whether actually Craig picked this as a number one, and I may have just completely ruined everything. But I'm going to Nighttime Parade at the Magic Kingdom. What was the Nighttime Parade at the Magic Kingdom, should I say? But we've currently got Main Street Electrical, and I'm choosing Spectro Magic.
It was mine, one. Yes.
I thought it was. I just think, you know what, it was Craig's.
Ha ha, he doesn't listen to you, but listens to me.
Yeah, something like that. And Craig's the same with me with this. This is just the ultimate, you know, the moment when you hear the opening and the lights go out and this music just starts, it just sends a shiver down your spine, does it not?
Oh, it does. Yeah, I love it too. In fact, I think I said at the time, Debs has it as a ringtone on her phone, and I really just think the music is brilliant. It crescendos up. It's just a magical piece of music.
It really is. It's just the whole way. The things I love about Disney Park music anyway, and particularly parade music, is how they can fit and weave in all of these classic tunes without it almost changing key or tempo or pace or anything or style. Whereas I think Spectro Magic is possibly the best example of this, just how well it intertwines all of these different tunes throughout the whole thing. And it's just an absolutely awesome piece of music. So Spectro Magic is my number one. And we would normally play Spectro Magic at the end of the show, but because we've got another great piece of audio to bring to you, anyway, we're going to play Spectro Magic right now.
Woohoo!
On this magic night, a million stars will play beside us, cast a spell of light, glimmering, shimmering, carousel.
Splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life. And now, the Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney. In Spectro Magic.
Oh, this magic night, a million stars will play beside us, cast a spell of light. Glimmering, shimmering, carouseling round the world tonight. A symphony in spectral magic, pure enchantment lights our way.
Spectral
Magic.
There you go, Spectra. I love Spectral Magic, isn't it great?
Illuminations is better.
You know, Illuminations is better. Yeah, okay. I think
let's have a sing off.
You see, I think I just shall we just break into song? I still think I'd put Spectro above Illuminations.
That's because you're crazy.
What about you? You'd put Spectro above Illuminations.
I would put Spectro above Illuminations because I think it's just one piece of music that seems to be recognised. Illuminations has lots of lovely pieces of music. There's no denying that. But there is just something magic about Spectro Magic.
You wait till you're old like me and then you'd be going, oh, actually, he just was right. It's an old person's part.
This is too loud. Turn it down.
I do complain, yeah. Turn the bangs down.
That's us three. We finally got through our three Disney Island discs, and we don't want to end it there because what we want to do is to invite you guys to come on the show and tell us what your Disney Island discs are as well. So if you are interested, and I know some of you have sort of said you're interested in the past, but we'd like you to sort of send your emails in now to podcast@disneybrit.com. Let us know if you're interested in coming on and sharing your Disney Island discs. So please do that, podcast@disneybrit.com. Now, one more piece of audio we want to share with you to round off the show just before we sort of do our outro and say goodbye. You may have remembered me talking last year about going to see the Encore Cast Choir and Orchestra. Do you guys remember this?
Yes.
You sound really pleased. Well, the Encore Cast Choir and Orchestra are basically cast members and their families from Walt Disney World who come together to create part of this orchestra or this choir, and they put on a concert designed to be for charity every single year. And 2 years ago they did one which was called Revolution, which was sort of based upon music from the 60s and 70s. And then last year they did something they'd never done before, and they decided that they would do a concert which was a musical tribute to the legacy of Disney. Now imagine that, you know, they work for the Disney company, they've got to put all this fantastic music in, and this concert was just over 2 hours and it was truly amazing. Bearing in mind these guys aren't all professionals, you know, a lot of them, you know, you've got people in there who might play the bassoon, but actually during the day they are a friend to Mickey Mouse or they clean the streets. Whereas in the evenings, they're in playing their instrument. And that's sort of the idea of what it's all about. The bassoon.
Bassoon.
Not the buffoon, the bassoon.
Not allowed to play a buffoon.
Why not? Why can't you play the buffoon?
Because they tell you to stop it.
Okay, fine.
Stop playing with that buffoon, man.
Yes.
Put him down.
Prevent that. And they have dancers in there as well, and they have performers who sort of do this almost like presentation stuff on mini stages around. And this concert had some great stuff, and they split it up into lots of different sections. Dream of a Wish, Dream of Love, Dream of Fantasy, Dream of Darkness. They had the Magic Music and Mayhem Continues in the second act, Dream of Adventure, Dream of Family. And all of these took different things from films or from attractions or things that are slightly linked. So the Dreams of Love obviously had a lot of duets, had things like Someone Like Me, Can You Feel the Love Tonight. Dream of Fantasy had Human Again from the musical of Beauty and the Beast. It had a Silly Symphony in the Air, The Age of Not Believing. Then if we went to second act, Dream of Adventure, we had some great Princess and the Frog stuff. Bearing in mind, that film had only just come out. That stuff was all in there as well. Then we had Dream of Family, had the Shadowlands and A Place I Call Home, which is a mixture of all sorts of stuff to do with family. And then they had the Dream of Discovery. Okay, the Dream of Discovery was awesome. And I want to play you now one section, one small section, while Craig continues to print stuff off.
He is as well.
He is actually like, yeah, do the show. I'll just sort of.
I didn't know he had a printer in his Orlando house, but obviously he does.
I've got to be up early. I've got stuff to do. Carry on. Multitasking.
Okay. They had this thing called, they called it Epcot, which was Experimental Prototype Collection of Tunes. And they got loads of retro Epcot music, and they put it together into one big piece of music with the opening fanfare. There's Tomorrow's Child in there. There's Energy. There's New Horizons. There was One Little Spark. There's Veggie Veggie Fruit Fruit. All of those songs all sort of mix into one. And I was lucky while I was there to be able to record some of the concert. And I've actually got other bits of the concert as well. So if you hear this and you want to hear some more, please do let us know, podcast@disneybrit.com. And we will, of course, play more from the concert as well. But recorded some of the concert, and what we want to do is to play you this 10-minute piece of music, which is known as the Experimental Prototype Collection of Tunes.
Thank you.
there you go. That does pretty much round up the show. Hopefully you enjoyed all of that. And if you do want to hear some more from that encore concert, then I've got some more audio that I'm happy to play if people want to hear it. So do let us know. Thanks to our sponsors, Columbus Vacation Villas. You find out more about them at www.columbus-vacation.com. Thanks to Juz and Craig for joining me. Thank you, Juz.
Absolute pleasure.
And thank you, Craig.
Can I get back to the pool and the football now?
You can go back to the pool and the football now. Jeez. And have a wonderful time out there in Orlando.
Will do.
We aren't at all jealous in the slightest.
Yeah. Honestly, sure you are.
I'm getting a day out at Alton Towers. I couldn't be happier.
I might go and just do the garden or something.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I'll do some new streaming.
Oh, yeah, you better do some new streaming. That would be cool. And we'll let people know about that if you're going to do it. You can, of course, send your email as an email with your questions, comments and suggestions to podcast@disneybrit.com. You can also ring us on our voicemail numbers 0121 288 2858 for the UK and Europe. And if you're in the US,
407-545-7980.
You can make sure to check out our website, disneybrit.com. All the latest news, rumours are going to be up on there. Hopefully we're going to have a nice link up there if we can to Craig's Ustream, so you can follow him whenever he's in the parks using millions of pounds worth of streaming through his phone.
Shh, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone.
It's a secret. Also, check out our Facebook page and our Disney Brit fan page. You can also check out our Mouse Meets page over there as well. Also, friend of myself, Juz Craig, over on Facebook and also over on Discot. Go over to www.discot.net, the latest Disney social media website. We have got so many people over there who are all sharing all their Disney news and experience and opinions.
Yeah, get off our side.
Fantastic over there. It really is great. So do head over there and enjoy that. You've got Mouse Mag, of course. You can download that from magcloud.com. So go and check that out. And also leave us a review on iTunes. Now, one of the things we haven't quite mentioned yet, I'm going to mention it right now, is if you look in the feed for this particular episode of the podcast, you'll also find a download for the events guide for Mouse Meets 2011. Do check that out. You'll find that as a download there, and we'll also put that up on the website so you know where you can download that as well. You can also go over to our YouTube channel where I put some loads of cool stuff, and I have to say a massive thank you to Paul Boniface, who has done an awesome introduction for all of our videos for the Disney Brit podcast. You can see that over there. That's absolutely fantastic, so do go and check that out. You can also listen to us on the radio at Heartbeat Radio every Friday night in Orlando, 10:30 to 11:30 UK time. That's 5:30 to 6:30 EST. And then I've got to get this right, it's 12 midnight until 1 a.m. UK time, which works out 7 to 8 p.m. on heartbeatradiousa.com for the Destination Disney radio show. You can, of course, check out Iron Orlando as a podcast, as well as Destination Disney as a podcast as well. And that's pretty much everything, I think, other than the only thing we need to tell you is the next edition of this podcast will be out on Wednesday, the 25th of April, just a few days before Mouse Meets. See you then.